Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
This is completely BS. This is shame. They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hope you're having a great Friday. We certainly are. Braves back in action. All-Star break is done. We started the show, and I said I'm not doing anything when it comes to making a move at the trade deadline. Many of you are in shock. What do you mean, Dukes? You have to do something. No, you don't. And then Zeno, who is in today for Mike, said, I'm not sure if I'm bringing back Ozuna. I am, by the way, but he said I'm not sure. And if you bring in an outfielder, you have some options, and you can make this work. I just think you don't trade assets and take on money if you don't have to. And I don't know if we have to. Are we good enough to win the World Series? It doesn't feel like it, guys, because we haven't hit. If we hit like we know we can, if Riley and Olsen and Harris and who else? Everybody hits Zeno, yeah, then this feels different.
Right. I mean, why you're struggling, and look, for the record, I don't believe you're going to see some dramatic turnaround from the regulars.
Okay.
If it hasn't happened by now.
You think this is their season?
Is their season.
Okay.
If you're batting 240 to this point, you're probably batting 240 for the rest of the year. You know, and you would need a really hot month to get to your 250, 260 range. That would be dramatic. So this is what these guys are this year. The bigger concern is this, what these guys are for the future. Is Michael Harris really this much of a and, you know, I don't think it's a conversation you need to have now, but were some of those contracts that they handed out a little premature?
Maybe. But you know what? I think in the spirit of we buy in, I'm not saying us, but the front office buying into these guys, paying Strider, paying even Ronald and Ozzy earlier and taking out those arbitration years, I think it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was the wrong thing to do.
Because here's the thing, too, a part of this, at least part of this, you know, even if these guys don't pan out to be as good as long term, that they, let's just say they don't live up to their contract. Let's say Riley, for example, which I think he's going to. It was still cheaper to do what they did.
You're right.
Than to wait and have Riley come to the negotiating table as a, you know, 45 home run third baseman, and now you're trying to pay him $350 million.
I mean, here's the difference, though. That works great for other teams that aren't on a budget. This is still a team on a budget.
Everybody's on a budget.
They're on a tighter budget than most big market teams.
Braves are top 5 in payroll next year when salaries increase across the board for Acuna,
yes,
and Harris,
yes,
and Riley and Olsen.
However, part of that whole thing was they're going to be top 5, but they are also locked into where they are for the extended future. So when everybody else starts spending more next year, the following year, and everything else, that top 5 is going to come back down because they don't have to spend.
They got there because of the escalators in these contracts, or will be there, should I say, only because of, you know, again, when you pay a guy, this is the thing, like when we announced the Riley deal, and it was $212 million, right, they believe. Oh, and Chris, right, 212 or something like that for Riley. And we were like, oh! But it didn't kick in immediately. But as you get into the contract, and every year that number goes up until it stabilizes, and I think it's like $25 or $28 million, whatever it is, you don't realize how that affects that particular year's payroll. So, yes, I hear you. But everybody's on a budget. But the Braves, idea like we're not spending money anymore is ridiculous. They're spending money.
They are. But again, they don't have room to spend more money, I think is part of the issue.
Do they need to? Do they need to?
If you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Running things back is a recipe for failure in professional sports today. 25 years ago, it might have worked. Any team was like, we'll run this back again, you've already lost.
Okay.
You've already lost. You're just not going to be better than you were last year.
Celtics going to run it back. They're not going to be better?
No.
Okay.
They ain't winning 65 games next year.
Okay.
Because not.
I don't necessarily.
Everybody else got better around them.
I don't necessarily disagree. I just think it's very hard to overhaul your team and change it to that degree year in and year out. I believe you have to have a core of guys that you totally buy into and believe in. We've got that. And then those other pieces, pitching, the auxiliary pieces you're talking about, the Rosario,
okay, so
that
on.
Changes. But let's, I don't believe that
here's
you can fundamentally
barometer.
Change your team here's, every year like that.
Here's the real barometer of how much they have to spend. Is Max Fried a Brave next year?
No, he's not.
Okay.
That means and he should be.
That means they have no more money to spend.
He should be.
No, that means they have no more money to spend.
No. Fried is at a point in his career where you look at him and you say, it sounds terrible. Did we get the best out of him?
Yeah, sure you did.
You did. It's time to move on.
But it's not time to move on from Ozuna?
No, but you just said to me it's better to get rid of him.
Like a year early than yes.
And
but
so
again,
for Fried, unfortunately, I want
but
them Fried to
is
pay
only,
him.
What is he, 25?
He's 30.
Is he that old?
He's 30.
Man.
Yes.
Oh, then you let him walk. Yeah. I still thought he was in his 20s. Yeah, then you let him walk.
Of course you do.
I feel like he's so young.
You changed direction really
oh,
fast.
Oh, yeah, real quick. Yeah, as soon as I, oh, yeah, 30-year-old, you can let him.
But that's the deal. And I think they have to ask themselves, did we get the best of him? Did we get the best out of him? And what are the next 6 years going to be? Is it going to be better than what we just recently saw? The answer is no. Then you make the decision. I think they should pay him because my fear is Morton retires, right? You got Sale under contract. We don't know enough about these young guys that you feel comfortable
and
enough.
And, oh, by the way, Spencer Strider is a massive question mark to return from a second Tommy John surgery.
Okay, so there it is. And you have no ace left.
You realize that.
So you're going to let him walk. And that is my concern.
Well,
it's not about this year. It's about the future.
I mean, when it's all said and done, if I told you tomorrow was 2028 and we compare what Freddie Freeman has done and what Matt Olson has done, who got the better end of the deal?
Freddie was a better player.
Yeah.
Freddie was considered to be a better player.
The difference in the contract, what was it, $30 million,
yeah.
$40
million? Yeah.
Okay. Over the course of the contract?
But it's not over
And it's
yet.
Not because the Braves didn't try. In fairness to them, they tried to get him. They, whatever. It's not like they just let him walk and said, we're not paying
Yes,
him.
But Freddie has a bigger, there's more of a sample size and a resume to look at. When this contract is done with Matt Olson, let's look at it and say, what did he do? How did he produce? And what did the team do?
If you look at his numbers, right, and here's the concern we talk about what Matt Olson's going to do. I mean, he's a 250 career hitter. So it shouldn't surprise you this year that he's batting 229. Right? Like, you'd like a little bit better, but it's starting to look like last year was the outlier year.
Yeah.
And this is who he really is because, again, the 52 home runs, he had never hit 40 before, and last year he hit 52.
It's the power numbers that's what's
worrying.
Right,
the 13 home runs is
really...
Yeah,
come on, bro.
The 405 slugging is a little bit impotent.
What's your deal? What's your deal today?
Oh, sorry, my bad. It's a little flaccid.
What's going on with you today?
I got a lot of energy.
Obviously. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers.
Yeah, I think they can help.
Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com.
Hashtag anti-flaccid.
Yeah. Trey Lance. I got no reason not to be here, Lance said. Talking about trying to still live his dream. You guys do know he's now with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, smart for the Cowboys because insurance, they might let Dak walk.
Well, do you, though?
I would never let Dak walk. Dak is the top 10 quarterback, if not top 7 quarterback in his league.
Yeah,
in the conversation.
I'm with you. Trey Lance says, I think, I guess at any position, you start thinking about this, but he was basically saying it's a no-brainer. I feel good. I feel great every time I come out here. I try to get better. He's saying all the right things. I can go on, blah, blah, blah. Trey Lance right now, he's not relevant. And I do not know what Trey Lance is as a quarterback in this league.
Nobody does.
I don't even know if Trey Lance is going to be a starter at any point in this league. And I'm just telling
again,
you.
If they let, I mean, he's the guy that they brought in to get in this whole system for a year, to get around these guys for a year before they risk a chance at losing Dak.
Shanahan took him top 3.
Yeah, traded up to get him, too.
and then traded him.
Because?
The guy behind him was better.
Life moves fast in the NFL, man.
I'm just saying.
Life comes at you fast in the NFL.
I don't know what the deal is there. Hey, our buddy Steve Weiss from NFL Network was talking about our Falcons. Let's hear him talk about Raheem Morris and his relationship with our owner, Arthur Blank.
I mean, they have a very, very tight relationship. And he was in the running with Arthur Smith for that job, but Arthur Blank had it in his mind at the time, I've got to get the hot offensive coach. Right? I remember they interviewed Robert Saleh and a lot of really good defensive coaches, but all those guys told me after their interviews, they were going to go offense. And so Raheem is going to do well.
I think so too. But I also think the best thing he did is he went out and got a very good offensive mind and a guy he trusts in Zach Robinson.
I've said this repeatedly. There is no excuse for anything less than a 10-win season for this team.
Agreed.
But he doesn't get a first-year pass. Does not.
The team's ready to do that. They were ready to do it last year.
Of course, they were ready to do it for the last 2 years. So, you don't want me to start defending Arthur Smith, do you? Because I won't. But, you know, I'm still on that hill. I've died there several times. You can bury me at the top of it. Me and Art. BFF. But there's no excuse for Raheem. There is, if this team doesn't win 10 games, we'll have to win the division because somebody could win 11 or 12, and that's a really good year. I don't know what other teams are going to be capable of. This is a 10-win team.
I don't know if anybody in this
division I don't think anybody
games.
Should, but yeah. I'm just saying, like, we've seen stranger things happen.
Sure.
You can't control what other teams do in the division other than playing them twice. So, but there is no pass, in my opinion. None. If it's a 9-8 season and they squeak out a division or a wild card, failure. Failure.
So Steve Weiss kind of agrees with you when he was asked about Kirk Cousins. Steve with the NFL Network talking about our Falcons. Listen to what he says about Cousins and the offense.
Unquestionably the right move because this roster is ready to win right now. I mean, the offensive line is very good, especially run in the run game, right? We know what the Falcons can do up front. They can push and they can dominate in the run game up front. So that's not going away, right? Now you get a quarterback who puts the ball on the spot. Right, he gets the ball. You know, we saw what he did with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison before he got hurt. We saw what he's done in previous years. So he's perfect for the system. They need a veteran leader.
I do too. I think he's perfect for the offense because he knows it. I think from a leadership standpoint, and the bigger thing for me about this whole Cousins deal. And by the way, you know, we'll say this next week. Whether he plays in the preseason is irrelevant. I really think as long as he's ready for the regular season, I'm disappointed because I do want to get a sense of what we have and what he looks like, but we'll try to do that at practice as much as we can. But, Zeno, the major thing is he knows how to play the position. That's all we needed last year. We just needed somebody who knew how to play the position.
Well, and he also knows how to keep himself out of trouble, right? I mean, when you look at a guy who 9 out of 10 times makes the right play with the football.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're looking for here offensively. It should be a very big year for this offense.
Stukes and Bell, either you get it or you don't. The music is right on point.
I mean, Oren is, I say it to him all the time. Whenever I'm here, when it comes to music, Oren doesn't miss.
No, well, he's not missing right now. Mick the Caddy's going to stop by. We'll pick his brain for a few minutes to talk about the Open Championship. We'll get you caught up on the leaderboard. Two guys that are going home. One is Tiger. The other is Rory, which is somewhat shocking after he was so close to winning that major. We'll find out what Mick's thinking next.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Dukes and Bell, Mark Zeno is in for Mike today. We were talking about the Open Championship. A couple of guys, some brand names, should I say, are going home. But there are some guys that you recognize. Shane Lowry is atop the leaderboard, 7 under. He shot a 69 today, shot a 66 in round 1. Justin Rose, 5 under. Daniel Brown's 5 under. Scottie Scheffler is at 2 under. He shot a 69 today. What's going on with Scottie Scheffler? He actually shot a 70. Check that today. But he is in the hunt as well. Listen, this course is hard. Royal Troon. And we want to talk to our buddy, Mick the Caddy. And Mick, it's always good to have you on, man. I'm curious just your thoughts about Royal Troon, the golf course, the everything that I'm seeing over there. It looks incredibly hard.
It is a very, very tough golf course, and it's a very tough golf course. It's right on the coast. The wind, the weather, I mean, the rough. I mean, everything you can imagine is just, it's a great, great test of golf. It really is a fantastic place.
You talked about the wind. I mean, just today, we're talking about 20-mile-an-hour gusts. You know, how do golfers prepare for that out there? I mean, it's they don't usually see conditions like this.
No, they don't. And the hardest part about that is, like you said, it's gusting wind. It's not like if it's a 20-mile-an-hour constant wind, but when it goes from 15 to 20 to 25 to 30, and on those greens which have so much undulation, and, you know, it's just, sometimes it's just a crapshoot. Sometimes it's like there is a little bit of luck involved. I mean, there really is. I mean, you can set yourself, you know, we practice early in the week about which wind is going to be coming from, you know, this direction, and you know, you could have a northeast wind for 3 days practicing, and then you come out on the Thursday and it's blowing from the southeast, and it throws all your plans, like, you know, into disarray.
It's crazy. Mick, and speaking for what you used to do, being a caddy on tour, like, you know, what's the conversation? Hell, you can club up, but that might not be the answer, right? I mean, we're talking about, you know, hitting shots here where I'm watching the first couple of rounds, and I'm like, it looks like a good shot, but then you see it roll off or it's in the rough, and you're like, that looked like a good shot. To your point, how do you even communicate that with the guy that you're caddying for?
Well, you know, you're trying to pick targets. You're trying to pick the best targets you can. And a lot of the times the flag isn't, you know, is not even, it doesn't even come into the equation. I mean, there's so many times that you can be aiming 15, 20, 30 feet left of the flag and, you know, trying to hit it to a great place. And, you know, and sometimes these guys will hit it to 3 feet and, you know, the crowd's clapping. But, you know, him and I both know that wasn't anywhere near where you were aiming, you know, and things like that. So, there's a lot of safety when it comes to playing in these conditions. The middle of the green is the best place, you know. And but again, there's so much luck. These greens are hard, and you get the downwind bounces and things like that. And, you know, I remember when Todd Hamilton won the Open Championship. He never hit a wood on any tee shot, anything. He just hit irons all day and just played for safety, you know. And he ended up winning the Open.
When you look at the final two rounds here, and just kind of where the leaderboard is with Shane Lowry at the top of it, 2 strokes ahead of Justin Rose and Daniel Brown. I mean, look, there's still a lot of golf left, but have you seen anybody in particular you think is scrambling well, or, you know, is it just about getting off the tee well? Who do you think has what's left in their game to kind of catch Lowry or even take the lead at some point before the tournament's over?
I still think Scottie Scheffler's the man. I really do. I mean, his short game is so good. His demeanor is so good. The guy that's really surprised me this week is Justin Rose. And I don't know Rosie really well. His caddy, Mark Fulcher, is a really good friend of mine. And he just got back on the bag. He was on the bag when he won the U.S. Open in 2013 at Marriott. And, I mean, he's a fierce competitor as well. And when he gets a sniff, he could be really, really hard to beat as well. But I can't see that anyone beating them outside those three, Scheffler, Rose, and Lowry. And, you know, I'd really like to see Lowry win it for the simple fact is because that boy knows how to party. I can tell you that would be one of the greatest parties. that man can drink. I mean, I'm playing golf with a good friend of mine tomorrow, you know, Chris Forty, and I thought he could drink. But I can tell you one thing, Shane Lowry, he can drink with the best of them.
That's awesome. Guys not making the cut, just some of the names. Will Zalatoris, Zach Johnson, obviously, Tommy Fleetwood. Jordan Smith. I was thinking Jordan Spieth, Tony Finau, 10 over for Tony Finau. These are some of the guys that are not going to be there. Victor Hovland.
I mean, Rory McIlroy. Last I saw Rory was like 14.
He's plus 11 right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not going to be there.
No, and then, you know, Justin Leonard, Tiger Woods. So that just tells you, again, you know, if you're not on your A game, and even if you are, as you said, you need some luck. Let me get your opinion on Tiger, man. He said after we just played a soundbite, it's Mick the Caddy, a good friend of the show here on Dukes and Bell, and he's been on the bag of professional golfers on tour and did it for a very long time. Let me ask you about where you're at with Tiger. Some people said after this week, like, you know, leading up to this week, he just needs to retire. And he was like, no, I'm not ready to do that. And I still think I can win. And Mick, I said maybe he needs to lower the expectations and just say, hey, I'm coming out and I'm going to do the best I can. But that's not in him, is it?
No, he doesn't have it in his body. He's never had it in his body. He's never gone to a tournament where he doesn't think he can't win. And that's why he was so successful for so long. I mean, you know, I've been around Tiger a lot. And when he gets to a tournament, He's got everything he needs in the bag. He doesn't tinker with everything. He's just ready to play. He's ready to go. So every tournament he turns up to, you think he's going to win. You know, I know his caddy very well, Lance Bennett. And, you know, and I've spoken to people who know Tiger. And, like, when he plays at home, his scores are phenomenal. He plays great, but he's not walking. He's in a cart. You know, he doesn't have the fatigue factor. He doesn't have the leg hurting as much. He just gets out. He hits a beautiful shot. He doesn't have to walk up to it. And so he plays great scores like that, but his body just can't handle it now. And I, you know, I love watching Tiger play, and I think it's great. And, you know, I said to somebody today, I never thought I could play golf like Tiger Woods, but at the moment I am, because he's come down to my level. So, you know, it's just, you know, shooting scores like 14 over. It's hard to watch. It really is. It is, you know, I love the guy. He's such a great player. And I do believe if he does go to the Champions Tour, I think it'll revamp him when he turns 50, because he will be able to ride around on the cart. And I think it'll give that tour a huge jolt if he does play.
Yeah, it's a great point. It really is. And that's what we were saying. It is hard to watch because of the greatness and the level of standard that he set for not only himself, but just, you know, for the game of golf. All right, Mick, real quick, you got to give us a story. We always ask you for one. Pick one. Do you have an open story that you can tell us from being over there 1 year, or something you were associated with one of these guys that might end up being in the hunt this weekend? Give us something.
I'll tell you one. Royal Lytham St. Anne's, 2012, I was caddying for a guy by the name of Greg Owen, great friend of mine. A little bit of a hot temper, and we'd planned out, mapped out the course the whole way, and we were going to hit 2-iron up 18, which was, you know, our final hole, and it's the one that Adam Scott blew it by hitting the wrong tee shot on that hole, and Ernie Els ended up winning that tournament. But we three-putted 17, and he was probably the angriest he's ever been coming off there, and we were paired with Tom Lehman, and we were standing on the 18th, you know, tee, and I handed him his 2-iron. He's like, give me the driver. I'm like, no, buddy. I'm like, no. 2-iron. We're practicing. We've had 5 practice rounds here. We know it's 2-iron. He's like, give me the driver. I'm like, I'm not giving you the driver. So we're having this, you know, conversation and little argument on the tee, and everyone's looking at us like,
it's like Roy McAvoy in Tin Cup with Rome's.
Exactly. So anyway, he takes the driver out and he smashes it. Probably the best driver I've ever seen him hit. And we get down there, and I still remember it perfectly. We've got 93 yards, slightly into the wind. The stands are packed. You've got Friday. And he's from England, so you're like, you know, they're all cheering for him. He pulls out the sand wedge, and I was like, no, buddy, this is lob wedge. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, this is the same yardage we have on 14. You had 93 yards, and you hit it to 2 feet. The same way, yeah, same yardage, same wind, just hit 90, you know, this is lob wedge, 93 yards. So he looks at me, and he puts the sand wedge back. He pulls out the lob wedge. He hits it. It goes one bounce past the hole, spins back, and he holds it for a 2.
Oh!
So he makes 2, and the crowd's going crazy, and he rips his glove off, and he slams the club back in the bag, and he looks at me, and he says, if you ever let me hit driver here again, I'll fight.
Yeah, that's great. That is. That's all. I tried to tell you not to hit driver, damn it.
Tom Lehman walked past me, and he goes, what did he just say? And I told him, he goes, your player's an idiot. And I was like, yeah, I know.
That's great. It's always good to hear from you, Mick. Man, we enjoy talking with you. We'll see what happens this weekend in the Open Championship, and I'm with you. Listen, Scheffler at 2-under, moving days tomorrow. We'll see what happens, but I'm not counting him out at all. He's been so good this year specifically, but Shane Lowry right now at 7-under. Mick, thanks so much, man. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Lovely talking to you, as always.
All right, man. Take care. Mick the caddy.
I mean, there are a bunch of names, like, putting up scores like you and I do. Well, yeah. Not you, but me.
It's true, though.
I mean the double-digit numbers, the plus 10s are higher. If you just start running down the names here, Hovland, Finau, McIlroy, we already know Tiger, Cam Smith is a major winner.
You're right.
Sahith Tikala, Justin Leonard, I mean, God, Wyndham Clark. These are guys that are in contention pretty much for every tournament that they get in, and they all doubled it.
They're gone. No, man. It's true. This is what I was saying. I mean, you start looking at these guys' scores, and you're like, Cam Smith shot an 80 in round one. Like, that, it's just, you know, you're like, wow. And he's 12, you know, plus 12. For the tournament, but that the cut line was 6, I think, right? Is that right? Yeah.
I mean, what is it like if you're Bryson DeChambeau? You just win you're a major, right? And you come out in your next major and you go plus 9 for 2 rounds and you go home early.
I know. I don't think these link courses, these link style links, I don't think they do him justice. Like, because if you're DeChambeau, you're looking at this stuff regardless of what your caddy's telling you and what you know, and you're like, I'm just driving it.
Yeah.
And then you drive into trouble. because there's that these courses.
Well, on the links courses, you get a lot of extra roll too. So some of that is negated.
Yes.
Some of his distance that he has at other guys on regular courses get negated here. You know, sure, DeChambeau can bomb it, but he's not as accurate as most of the other guys on tour. So he's a little off and he hits a hill, it takes a weird bounce, and that thing keeps going. Next thing you know, you're in knee-high stuff. And
you're not getting out of there. No, that's true. And if you are, you're still taking, you know, three over. This hour is brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. All right, coming up in about an hour, the hell that Mark Zeno's been going through. You won't believe the story. But coming up next, Yeah Man, No Man on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You better run, you better run. Coming up, we are going to talk more about our Braves, who are back at it. Second half of the season starting tonight against St. Louis. Mark Zeno in for Mike today, and we were talking about whether or not we do something. Guys, July 30th is going to be here before you know it. Trade deadline. And if you do something, what are you trying to do? We'll get back into that conversation with Grant McCauley, who's going to join us a little bit later on. Coming up also next hour, we're going to talk about the best Falcon bets for 2024. Stay tuned for that. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Turtle, what's going on? Happy Friday, my man.
Yes, sir. Same to you guys. Some big news coming out of the world of MLB impacting a local kid. This just coming down from Jeff Passan. The Colorado Rockies and slugger Charlie Condon are in agreement on a deal that includes a $9.25 million signing bonus.
Wow.
Making it the richest of its kind in MLB history. So here's my question. Yeah, man, no man. In a calendar year, this time, July 19th, 2025, will Charlie Condon have made his Major League debut?
I want to believe and say yes, but Zeno, we know. Do you still play, by the way? You still play?
Yeah.
We know, and not professionally, guys. We're just casually. But Zeno's a big baseball guy. We know how hard it is to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of the money you're getting and the pressures that come with being a high draft pick, etc. Chris, I'm going to tell you, yeah, I'm going to say yeah, man, just based on the fact they're going to push him and they're going to try to get him there. Okay, this is a huge investment. The other side of it is some people say, well, no, they're not going to do that. They're going to, you know, they're not going to rush this kid. I think he'll be, yes, I think he'll be starting next year. What do you think?
I mean, if you look at the guys who have done it that quickly, do we believe he's of this ilk? Do we believe he's as legit as Paul Skeens is?
Is he? Is he?
He projects that way.
Yeah, well.
I mean, he had a pretty historic season, not just for the Georgia program, but for college baseball all around. The reason I asked for a one-year timeline is because a team like the Colorado Rockies would want to showcase that type of talent that they have probably sooner rather than later.
I mean, look, the kid's a home run hitter, right? Like,
that's his deal. He's a power-hitting first baseman.
Okay. I would argue that minor league pitchers, like college pitchers who go to the minors, have an easier time putting up better numbers against than hitters. Like, the advantage is always on the pitching side. So his learning curve to hit better pitching than he saw in college is probably a little bit longer. The real question is, look, if he can get to double A, right?
Right.
He's going to go through winter league ball, whether it's Arizona, Mexico, whatever it is, right? He'll play high A, low A, whatever it is. If he can get to double A, or maybe start the season in double A, if they feel like he's ready after winter ball, then he's got a shot. But if he's still playing A ball in the spring next year, I would say no.
Yeah.
Like, that's... So I'm leaning no to answer your question directly.
That's a good point. I think it's a good demarcation as far as where he should be and what the expectation is. But it's interesting, and that's a lot of money.
Unless they give him an extended look in spring training and he hits three or four out of the ball.
Well, we know.
Then it could be a different story.
Well, yes. But, you know, again, I mean,
he's not starting the season with the big league club.
No,
we know that.
No, but if he struggles in spring training – it doesn't mean that he won't be
It's just going to take a little longer.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I was about to say.
All right. So can I interest you potentially,
yes,
gentlemen?
Oh.
Man, we are on one today, boys.
You said potentially, yesterday. So I left it open to, yeah.
All right. The New Jersey 76ers. Because apparently my home state, the Garden State, is making a serious push to the 76ers to come on over to the Garden State because of projected issues in a $1.3 billion proposed project to get a new stadium in Philly. Yeah, man, no man. Would that be a wise move for the 76ers to relocate?
I mean, everybody in Southern Jersey is a Philadelphia fan.
Okay.
They just are, right? That's, you know, I mean, that's where Joe Flacco's from, for crying out loud. He grew up an Eagles fan. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things where geographically it lines up better to be an Eagles fan. Because all you got to do is cross a bridge and you're in Pennsylvania.
And the proposed stadium would be in Camden.
Camden, okay. New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is not the nicest of
no,
areas.
It is not. It is one of like the four or five.
Yeah, I mean, once you get past Newark and Trenton, yeah. Camden is about as good as it gets. You know, like outside of North Jersey and Jersey City area, you know, yeah, like where St. Pete's College is, where the Peacocks, you know, that team that made the run, that's where that is up there in Jersey City. Yeah, Camden is not the best area. Are they doing it just because while they're doing the renovations in Philly, it'd be a temporary thing? Is that what you're telling
me? No. They want to bring them
home. Well, that's not happening.
To New Jersey.
That's not it. I don't think they would build a permanent home there.
Plus, there is, and I know it doesn't necessarily matter because you could say, well, teams have left, you know. Philly not being, the 76ers not being in Philly just doesn't even feel right. Like, permanently. To Zeno's point, I don't think the league would allow it. And by the way, I don't know if you guys realize this, but, you know, once these new TV deals are done, the commissioner has said the next thing they're going to try to do is expand.
I don't know why. It's a terrible idea.
Expand. They're talking about the NBA now. I don't think, Zeno, we're talking about six teams, but maybe two more teams.
Even out the conference.
Yes. They're talking about expanding.
Nobody wants to learn the lesson from the NHL, and it drives me absolutely insane. Like, you already have five bottom feeder teams that are not even comparable to NBA average teams. Why would you want to dilute the talent pool even more? You're not. It's okay to say no, folks. It's okay to just make elitism the standard over acceptance of everybody. You're going to bring two more teams in to stink, to play 82 games in front of empty arenas to do absolutely nothing. There are average teams. Look here in Atlanta. This is a major market. They can't sell out here. Caitlin Clark sold out State Farm Arena before the Hawks did. And that's a team that's actually making the play-in. You need another Detroit? Do we need another Charlotte? Do we need another San Antonio?
Well, Zeno, you use the NHL, but look at the Golden Knights. They're a roaring success out there in Vegas.
I get it.
As well, yeah.
Okay. It took 25 years to recover from them overexpanding nine teams in a 12-year period. You know how insane that is? Nine teams in your league in a 12-year period?
And then retracting. Yeah, I agree. I don't
and
disagree.
Oh, by the way, in all that, look what you had. In all that, you had a team relocate and move cities twice. I mean, it just, there's no stability in doing this. You're weakening the rest of the league, and other owners have to pull up the slack from a revenue standpoint deal to keep these. I don't know what they were.
Well, let me tell you this, and speaking of Vegas, and this is on the sidebar. It's Yeah Man, No Man. It's Dukes and Bale Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We're going to talk some college football coming up at the top of the hour. We'll get back into best bets for the Falcons as well in the 4 o'clock hour. NBA wants to be in Vegas.
I don't blame them.
NBA wants to be in Vegas. And so that is one place.
Relocate.
Well, where?
Again, the idea.
Who?
I kept telling us about the hockey team thing here in Atlanta. You're not going to get an expansion team. You can get a relocation team. You're not going to get an expansion team here. It's just not going to happen. And I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
But if you sweeten the deal enough for somebody, they'll pick up and go because owners care about money.
All right. And the point is they want to be in these markets that they're not in, and they believe that there's a lot of, you know, revenue potential. Chris, go ahead. I know you got one more thing for us.
All right. So apparently I just learned this today. Our Snapple fact of the day is that flag football is coming to the Olympics in 2028.
Hmm.
And somebody, really big name in the sport, says, I want a coach. And that name is Peyton Manning.
What?
Peyton Manning says he wants to be the coach of the Olympic flag football team. Yeah, man, no man.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah, man.
Peyton Manning going to make a good coach?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. If it's, and by the way, if it's anything like his SNL skit, absolutely.
Did you see who wants to be the quarterback of that team?
No, I didn't.
Joe Burrow.
Really?
Wow.
I think Burrow and Chase want to play on it.
And that was my next question. What is the pool of talent, the talent pool coming?
Apparently NFL players, I guess.
Yeah, right. I mean, they should take NFL players. Why shouldn't they? But here's the rub. Here's the rub. Your player blows an ACL in an Olympic game and misses your season.
Ooh.
Now, if I was Joe Burrow, I would do it because he ain't winning anything in Cincinnati.
Okay, would you
stop it?
Yeah.
I'm selling all my Bengals stock. They are going under. They're going to miss the playoffs, and they might finish last in their division.
Oh,
is he going to get injured again? That's the only way I see that happening.
Yeah, I'm with you, Turtle.
That roster, 3 through 53, stinks.
Well, the O-line's not good. I'll give you that.
After Burrow and Chase, the rest of that roster is garbage.
Anything else?
I got Trey Hendrickson. He's pretty good, right?
He's pretty good. 4 through 53.
Okay. Sam Hubbard?
You got anything else? That is the most outlandish thing I've heard, and the season hadn't even started yet.
That division's going to be really
tough. It's brutal. No, the division is brutal. Guys, they won 9 games last year without Burrow.
Yeah.
I mean, give me a break.
There's an argument that not only are they not the second-best team in their division, they might not be the third-best team in their division.
Well, I will say this. It is going to be a dogfight. And if you're telling me right now, I still pick the Ravens, all right?
Yeah.
And I'm still going to take—
The Steelers won 9 games last year.
Correct. With Kenny at quarterback.
Yes.
That's my point. So—
The Browns won 10 games last year with everybody at quarterback.
No, Flacco took it over. Flacco took it over.
I mean—
And no Chubb.
And no Chubb. Right,
backbenching or squatting 600 pounds.
Like, tell me, if I ask you right now, like position other than quarterback, really, like position group wise, what is the Bengals better than any other three teams?
At
quarterback, there's an argument to say that they're not because Lamar is there.
Wide receiver.
That's one guy. It's not the whole group. Yes, they have the best receiver.
And what T. Higgins is?
T. Higgins ain't playing. Not until he gets a new deal.
You think he's going to sit out?
T. Higgins is playing. He'll be playing.
Okay.
He's not going to miss that checks. I mean, we can all act tough until we can't.
Well, yeah. I mean, he ain't playing.
I ain't playing.
He ain't
playing. Until mama's like,
you ain't going to see him in a uniform until week one.
That direct deposit.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Mama's like, the rent is due, honey. All right, man. Good job, Turtle. See what I'm talking about? You see what I'm talking about?
What do I do now?
You see what I'm talking about? They won't win anything.
I mean, as long as we're not talking about blue pills, man, I think we're in a good spot.
You brought it up.
Freaking a Viking hat.
That was disgusting. That was disgusting. All right, coming up, Dog Report. We're going to recap SEC Media Days. What did we learn? Stay right there. Coming up, we are going to talk more about our Braves who are back at it. Second half of the season starting tonight against St. Louis. Mark Zeno in for Mike today, and we were talking about whether or not we do something. Guys, July 30th is going to be here before you know it. Trade deadline. And if you do something, what are you trying to do? We'll get back into that conversation with Grant McCauley, who's going to join us a little bit later on. Coming up also next hour, we're going to talk about the best Falcon bets for 2024. Stay tuned for that. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Turtle, what's going on? Happy Friday, my man.
Yes, sir. Same to you guys. Some big news coming out of the world of MLB impacting a local kid. This just coming down from Jeff Passan. The Colorado Rockies and slugger Charlie Condon are in agreement on a deal that includes a $9.25 million signing bonus.
Wow.
Making it the richest of its kind in MLB history. So here's my question. Yeah, man, no man. In a calendar year, this time, July 19th, 2025, will Charlie Condon have made his major league debut?
I want to believe and say yes, but Zeno, we know. Do you still play, by the way? You still play?
Yeah.
We know, and not professionally, guys. We're just casually. But Zeno's a big baseball guy. We know how hard it is to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of the money you're getting and the pressures that come with being a high draft pick, etc. Chris, I'm going to tell you, yeah, I'm going to say yeah, man, just based on the fact they're going to push him and they're going to try to get him there. Okay, this is a huge investment. The other side of it is some people say, well, no, they're not going to do that. They're going to, you know, they're not going to rush this kid. I think he'll be, yes, I think he'll be starting next year. What do you think?
I mean, if you look at the guys who have done it that quickly, do we believe he's of this ilk? Do we believe he's as legit as Paul Skeens is?
Is he? Is he?
He projects that way.
Yeah, well.
I mean, he had a pretty historic season, not just for the Georgia program, but for college baseball all around. The reason I asked for a one-year timeline is because a team like the Colorado Rockies would want to showcase that type of talent that they have probably sooner rather than later.
I mean, look, the kid's a home run hitter, right? Like,
he's, that's his deal. He's a power-hitting first baseman.
Okay. I would argue that minor league pitcher, like college pitchers who go to the minors, have an easier time putting up better numbers against minor, than hitters. Like the advantage is always on the pitching side. So his learning curve to hit better pitching than he saw in college is probably a little bit longer. The real question is, look, if he can get to double A, right?
Right.
He's going to go through winter league ball, whether it's Arizona, Mexico, whatever it is, right? He'll play high A, low A, whatever it is. If he can get to double A, or maybe start the season in double A, if they feel like he's ready after winter ball, then he's got a shot. But if he's still playing A ball in the spring next year, I would say no.
Yeah.
Like that's so I'm leaning no to answer your question directly.
That's a good point. I think that's it's a good demarcation as far as where he should be and what the expectation is. But it's interesting, and that's a lot of money.
Unless they give him an extended look in spring training and he hits three or four out of the ball.
Well, we know.
Then it could be a different story.
Well, yes. But, you know, again, I mean,
he's not starting the season with the big league club.
No,
we know that.
No, but if he struggles in spring training, it doesn't mean that he won't be.
It's just going to take a little longer.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I was about to say.
All right. So can I interest you potentially,
yes,
gentlemen?
Oh.
Man, we are on one today, boys.
You said potentially, so I left it open to, yeah.
All right. The New Jersey 76ers. Because apparently, my home state, the Garden State, is making a serious push to the 76ers to come on over to the Garden State because of projected issues in a $1.3 billion proposed project to get a new stadium in Philly. Yeah, man, no man. Would that be a wise move for the 76ers to relocate?
I mean, everybody in Southern Jersey is a Philadelphia fan.
Okay.
They just are, right? That's, you know, I mean, that's where Joe Flacco's from, for crying out loud. He grew up an Eagles fan. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things where geographically it lines up better to be an Eagles fan because all you got to do is cross a bridge and you're in Pennsylvania.
And the proposed stadium would be in Camden.
Camden, okay. New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is not the nicest of
no,
areas.
It is not. It is one of like the four or five.
Yeah. I mean, once you get past Newark and Trenton, Camden is about as good as it gets. You know, like outside of North Jersey and Jersey City area, you know, like where St. Pete's College is, where the Peacocks, you know, that team that made the run. That's where that is up there in Jersey City. Yeah. Camden is not the best area. Are they doing it just because while they're doing the renovations in Philly, it'd be a temporary thing? Is that what you're telling me?
No. They want to bring them.
Well, that's not happening.
To New
Jersey. That's not it. I don't think they would build a permanent home there.
Plus, there is, and I know it doesn't necessarily matter because you could say, well, teams have left, you know. Philly not being, the 76ers not being in Philly just doesn't even feel right. Like, permanently. To Zeno's point, I don't think the league would allow it. And by the way, I don't know if you guys realize this, but, you know, once these new TV deals are done, the commissioner has said the next thing they're going to try to do is expand.
I don't know why. It's a terrible idea.
Expand. They're talking about the NBA now. I don't think, Zeno, we're talking about six teams, but maybe two. Yeah, maybe two more teams.
Even out the conference.
Yes. They're talking about expanding.
nobody wants to learn the lesson from the NHL, and it drives me absolutely insane. Like, you already have five bottom feeder teams that are not even comparable to NBA average teams. Why would you want to dilute the talent pool even more? You're not, it's okay to say no, folks. It's okay to just make elitism the standard over acceptance of everybody. You're going to bring two more teams in to stink, to play 82 games in front of empty arenas to do absolutely nothing. There are average teams. Look here in Atlanta. This is a major market. They can't sell out here. Caitlin Clark sold out State Farm Arena before the Hawks did. And that's a team that's actually making the play-in. You need another Detroit? Do we need another Charlotte? Do we need another San Antonio?
Well, Zeno, you use the NHL, but look at the Golden Knights. They're a roaring success out there in Vegas.
I get it.
As well, yeah.
Okay. It took 25 years to recover from them overexpanding nine teams in a 12-year period. You know how insane that is?
And then
nine teams in your league in a 12-year period?
And then retracting. Yeah, I agree. I don't
disagree. And, oh, by the way, in all that, look what you had. In all that, you had a team relocate and move cities twice. I mean, it just, there's no stability in doing this. You're weakening the rest of the league, and other owners have to pull up the slack from a revenue standpoint deal to keep these. I don't know what they would.
Well, let me tell you this, and speaking of Vegas, and this is on the sidebar. It's Yeah Man, No Man. It's Dukes and Bale Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We're going to talk some college football coming up at the top of the hour. We'll get back into best bets for the Falcons as well in the 4 o'clock hour. NBA wants to be in Vegas.
I don't blame them.
NBA wants to be in Vegas. And so that is one place.
Relocate.
Well, where?
Again, the idea.
Who?
I kept telling us about the hockey team thing here in Atlanta. You're not going to get an expansion team. You can get a relocation team. You're not going to get an expansion team here. It's just not going to happen. And I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
But if you sweeten the deal enough for somebody, they'll pick up and go because owners care about money.
All right. And the point is they want to be in these markets that they're not in. And they believe that there's a lot of, revenue potential. Chris, go ahead. I know you got one more thing for us.
All right. So apparently I just learned this today. Our Snapple fact of the day is that flag football is coming to the Olympics in 2028.
Hmm.
And somebody, really big name in the sport, says, I want a coach. And that name is Peyton Manning.
What?
Peyton Manning says he wants to be the coach of the Olympic flag football team. Yeah, man, no man.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah, man.
Peyton Manning going to make a good coach?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. If it's anything like his SNL skit, absolutely.
Did you see who wants to be the quarterback of that team?
No, I didn't.
Joe Burrow.
Really?
Wow.
I think Burrow and Chase want to play on it.
And that was my next question. What is the pool of talent, the talent pool coming?
Apparently NFL players, I guess.
Yeah, right. I mean, they should take NFL players. Why shouldn't they? But here's the rub. Here's the rub. Your player blows an ACL in an Olympic game and misses your season.
Ooh.
Now, if I was Joe Burrow, I would do it because he ain't winning anything in Cincinnati.
Okay, would you
stop it?
Yeah.
I'm selling all my Bengals stock. They are going under. They're going to miss the playoffs, and they might finish last in their division.
Oh,
is he going to get injured again? That's the only way I see that happening.
Yeah, I'm with you, Turtle.
That roster, 3 through 53, stinks.
Well, the O-line's not good. I'll give you that.
After Burrow and Chase, the rest of that roster is garbage.
Anything else?
I got Trey Hendrickson. He's pretty good, right?
He's pretty good. 4 through 53.
Okay. Sam Hubbard?
You got anything else? That is the most outlandish thing I've heard, and the season hadn't even started yet.
That division's going to be really
tough. It's brutal. No, the division is brutal. Guys, they won 9 games last year without Burrow. I mean, give me a break.
There's an argument that not only are they not the second best team in their division, they might not be the third best team in their division.
Well, I will say this. It is going to be a dogfight. And if you're telling me right now, I still pick the Ravens. All right.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to take.
The Steelers won 9 games last year.
Correct. With Kenny at quarterback.
Yes.
That's my point. So.
The Browns won 10 games last year with everybody at quarterback.
No, Flacco took it over. Flacco took it over.
I mean.
And no Chubb.
And no Chubb. Right,
back benching or squatting 600 pounds.
Like, tell me, if I ask you right now, like position other than quarterback, really, like position group wise, what is the Bengals better than any other three teams? Well, a quarterback is an argument to say that they're not, because Lamar is there.
Wide receiver.
That's one guy. It's not the whole group. Yes, they have the best receiver.
And what T. Higgins is...
T. Higgins ain't playing. Not until he gets a new deal.
You think he's going to sit out?
T. Higgins is playing. He'll be playing.
Okay.
He's not going to miss those checks. I mean, we can all act tough until we can't.
Well, yeah. I mean, he ain't playing.
I ain't playing.
He ain't playing.
Until mama's like...
You ain't going to see him in a uniform until week one.
That direct deposit.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Mama's like, the rent is due, honey. All right, man. Good job, Turtle. See what I'm talking about? You see what I'm talking about?
What do I do now?
You see what I'm talking about? They won't win anything.
I mean, as long as we're not talking about blue pills, man, I think we're in a good spot.
You brought it up.
Freaking a Viking hat.
That was disgusting. That was disgusting. All right, coming up, Dog Report. We're going to recap SEC Media Days. What did we learn? Stay right there.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.